This morning we continue our journey, working our way through the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew's Gospel. So, Ron, are we turned on? Thank you. So the title of the message this morning is the Journey of Righteousness. And what we'll do is we'll read the passage of Scripture first and then we'll get into it. So if you're able and can, would you please stand as we read the Word of God's Word together. From Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, and then 16 to 18. It's titled in my Bible, I use the NIV, Giving to the Needy, but there's more. Jesus said, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Prayer. And when you pray, do not like be the hypocrites, for they love to be praying standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And verse 16, regarding fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I will tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to people that you are fasting, but only your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. May the Lord's word strike a note in our own hearts and mind this morning. Please be seated. Cool, that works. I believe that as human beings, we have mainly two greatest needs or greatest emotions. And the first one is to be loved. We all want to be loved. And the other emotion need that we need to be filled is to be accepted, to be belonged, to belong to a community or to a group of people. And it's within these two areas that we struggle the most as human beings, not only because they're our deepest longings, but this area is also a place where we can have our greatest fears develop from, our greatest anxieties. By this I mean that we will do everything in our power to be loved and to be accepted. We will go to any lengths, whether that means good means or bad means, to achieve this place of emotional happiness. A couple of Sundays ago, we had a look at what Christian Jesus talked about their disciples, about having a good character and conduct as a Christian, where a yes is a yes and our no is no. But because there is a strong urge to want to have our lives be accepted and loved by people, sometimes we err on the side of telling lies so that people will see us in a better light, even though it is a lie. Sometimes there's deceit, sometimes there's double standards, and sometimes we manipulate people to like us. I know it's not you guys. You've been in the world long enough to know now that's not the greatest thing to do, but it does happen. All age groups. However, when these lies and deceits are discovered, sadly, love and acceptance, they start to crumble away, and we're left in a worse position than we were before, more devastated, more empty, and greater longings. Remember, there's a good story in the Bible, and it's in Genesis. You've heard me say it before, but this is a wonderful picture of a person wanting love and acceptance, but it goes wrong. And that is found in Genesis, where God is listening to Cain, or watching Cain, and seeing how he is reacting. And this is what God had to say to Cain. Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Sadly, we hear too many stories, and this can also be our story as well, where sin has had its way in our lives, which has led people down the wrong path to bring bitterness, jealousy, deception, broken hearts and relationship, instead of this desire to be loved or to be accepted. So how can we walk away from that destructive path? That path that always takes us to the brokenness instead of the healing. Well, Jesus knew how sin affects our lives. He knew the damage it causes within our lives. So early on in his ministry, he sat his disciples down and said, I need to talk to you. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. And his words back 2,000 years ago are so relevant for us today. Jesus highlights three important areas of a Christian or a disciple's walk in life. The disciples are to engage in these areas of their lives, and it is in giving to the poor and needy, to prayer, and to fasting. These activities highlight our duty to God, to others, and to self. So Jesus provides two pictures of righteousness within these areas of activities. A righteousness that comes from true and correct conduct and character, and a righteousness that is manipulated. So the first picture is that of the Pharisees whose practice of the journey of righteousness is a practice of insincerity and dishonesty. They practice their religion not for the glory of God, but for the applause of people. These people Jesus labeled as hypocrites. Here is a definition of a hypocrite. A hypocrite is not a person who falls short of his or her high ideals or occasionally sins, because all of us experience these failures. A hypocrite deliberately uses religion to cover up their sins and promote their own gain. Another definition is this: as an actor who wears a mask. I wonder how many masks we put on through our lifetime to disguise what's really going on in our hearts. And of course, the other picture of a true righteousness comes from within, is where a Christian tests to see if their righteousness comes from a place of sincerity and honesty. So let's see how Jesus unpacks these three areas that he hopes that his disciples are walking in, and they are in the area of giving, of prayer, and of fasting. So the first one, of giving. But before I read that, I don't know about you, but sometimes do you find that there's confusion when you read scripture? There's one scripture says one thing and another scripture says the other. Well, here we go, right here in this first few, couple of verses of chapter 6. And I'll read it to you again. Jesus said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before people to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Just back in the previous chapter of chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said this: let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, are we to do good deeds or are we not to do good deeds? Should we or should we not give money to the poor and needy? I think one commentator I really enjoy reading and has a good way of interacting with scripture and depth of knowledge is a gentleman by the name of John Stott, who has passed on to be with the Lord. But he gives an explanation of the discrepancy between those verses, and you can read with me. The clues lies in the fact that Jesus is speaking against different sins. It is our human cowardice which made him say, "Let your light shine before people," and our human vanity, which made him tell us to be aware of practicing our righteousness before people. In other words, our good works must be public so that our light shines, and our religious devotion must be in secret, lest we boast about them. Jesus calls us to give our money from a place of righteousness, which is not what or how much we give to someone, but instead it's all about what is our heart attitude as we give it. The Pharisees made their giving a spectacle, and they gauged the level of their righteousness by the amount that they publicly gave to the poor people. They weren't in love with God, really, or in love with giving to people. They were in love with themselves to get the right response, not from God, but from people. And sadly, Jesus says they will get their reward. Well, they have got it. They have the applause of people here on earth, but they'll miss their reward in heaven. When you and I give to the poor and needy, do we give it from a place of guilt or from a place where we enjoy maybe someone seeing us give someone $10 and say, "Whoa, you gave that much to that person?" Jesus asks us to give from a place of righteousness that says, "I am motivated to give because I want to give God all the glory and not what other people think of me." When we do this, we grow spiritually stronger, God is glorified, and other people get help. The second area, in our prayers. In verse 5, Jesus tells us that the Pharisees loved to pray, you know, standing up in the synagogue praying and on the street corners. Initially, that's wonderful. We'd all love to see people stand praying, lifted hands to pray, or hands by your side, depending on how you do that, and on street corners. But Jesus says they were doing it for the attention from other people, not because they wanted to do it for God. He called them hypocrites. You see, the Pharisees didn't really love God. And now that's a hard accusation to throw at them, especially when we weren't there, but we have to trust Jesus' words that they did it not for the glory of God, but for their own glory. That's why they do it publicly and they stand up. You know, how sad that is, that behind their external act of righteousness, they're hidden within their hearts is deception and lies. I wonder what lurks in the deepest parts of our hearts this morning. I wonder sometimes the way we live our lives, do we really understand why we're motivated to do the things that we think we're motivated to do? It's until sometimes God shines the light into particular parts of our lives that we discover for the first time, my motivations aren't that correct, aren't that good. I like what this one author said about the Pharisees. Religious Phariseeism is far from dead. The accusation of hypocrisy has often been levelled at us churchgoers. It is possible to go to church for the same wrong-headed reasons which took the Pharisees to the synagogue, not to worship God, but to gain for ourselves a reputation of righteousness. That's an interesting thought. I don't know. Could it be true? Do we have to sit back and ask the reason why we're here today? That is an ouch factor in our lives. I have to confess, when I was a young man, in my late teens, early 20s, I went to church. But I went to church for two reasons. To please my mother, because she dragged us kids to church when we were kids, and I never wanted to go back, but later on I realised I'd like to please her. And also I went there to check out the girls. Very religious. Jesus tells us that we can also have the wrong heart attitude to prayer. I can remember when I first became a Christian. And so I started going to prayer meetings, which Christians are supposed to do. That's what all Christians do, don't they? They go to prayer meetings. Well, anyway, I went because I was told to. And so I reckon for the first year, I said not a word. I sat and listened to how other people prayed so that I would know how to pray. I would hear all sorts of prayers, long ones, short ones, eloquent prayers, hesitant prayers as people stuttered their way through. You know, they were trying to tell God what was on their heart. And then there were the ones who sounded like, well, sadly, now please forgive me, they liked the sound of their own voices. And they would pray and pray and pray and pray, and everybody was waiting for them to take a breath so then they could put in their prayer request. Sounds very judgmental, doesn't it? Forgive me for that. When we come to pray, what motivates us to pray? Is it to get in God's good books? Or is it to really build a genuine relationship with Him, whether it's through words eloquently said, through stuttering, or even not even a word said? We need to have the right heart attitude, Jesus is asking us in our prayer times. And Jesus provides us a model of prayer that will help us here, and that is, we must learn how to pray in private before we pray in public. Why is that? I think it's in private, where there are no distractions, where there is no thoughts of whether someone is liking our prayer or disliking our prayer, we learn to pray from the right heart motive. A prayer that God wants to hear. A prayer that comes from our heart. Does this mean that we shouldn't pray in public at all? Here's one person's response to that. If you can read it, I'll read it out too. Our Lord's emphasis is on the need for secrecy should not be driven to the extremes. To interpret it with rigid literalism would be guilty of the very Pharisaism against which he is warning us of. If all our praying were to be kept in secret, we would have to give up church going, family prayers, and prayer meetings. And we know that Jesus not only prayed in private, but he prayed in public as well. The last one that Jesus calls us in our walk as a Christian to observe is fasting. Why should we fast? Here's four things that I think could be the reason for that. To control the appetites, hungers, this is not just all about food, of our bodies, this is all about self-discipline. Secondly, it helps to develop good spiritual discipline. Thirdly, we can use fasting to show our solidarity with those in the world who are actually starving. Fourthly, fasting can provide a Christian with a time and space to sit with their Lord in true repentance. Sometimes our journey in life gets us to the stage that we just need to sit in silence and to distract us or pull us away from all our things that are going on in our lives, and even our appetites, our hungers and whatnot, and set aside food as well, to say, Lord, I come before you literally naked. These are the things I have done. Please forgive me. It is strictly between us and God. So in conclusion, today is showing us, his disciples, three important areas that need to be part of our lives. The giving, the prayer, and the fasting. And the question we need to ask ourselves, what is the motivation for us to engage in these three areas? And of course, there's a lot more areas, but these are three that Jesus wants to concentrate on today. I think this quote here quite nicely sums it up. The first step toward overcoming hypocrisy is to be honest with God in our secret place. Life. We must never pray anything that we do not mean from the heart. Otherwise, our prayers are simply empty words Our motives must be to please God alone, no matter what people may say or do. We must cultivate the heart in the secret place. It has well been said, the most important part of the Christian's life is that part that only God can see. I would encourage you, as I encourage myself, to find space this coming week to get off the conveyor belt of busyness and all the distractions that pull at us, to find that quiet place, to go into that secret place and to sit with God and ask Him to have a look into our hearts, see what our real motivations are for some of the things. Ask Him, are there any areas in my life that I need to hand back to You and apologize for? And He will answer that prayer, so that when we walk in this world, we become less a hypocrite and more of a Christian who has a character and conduct that our Lord wants to see in our lives.